and welcome to an event on the library and on Authors on the Air. I am the host, Tabitha Pope. This is a copyrighted and trademarked podcast owned solely by the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network on the web at authorsontheair.com. For my main event tonight, I have Naima Simone, who is USA Today bestselling author. I can say that and get really excited, and we're going to have a big party when I bring her on in just a second. Naima Simone's love of romance was first stirred by Joanna Lindsay, Sandra Brown, and Linda Howard many years ago. Well, not that many. She's only 18-ish, and I am 29. Thank you for that. Let's see. So her first attempt at romance novel starring Ralph Tresvant from New Edition never saw the light of day. Her love of romance, reading, and writing has endured. Published since 2009, she spends her days and nights creating stories of unique men and women who experience the first bites of desire, the dizzying heights of passion, and the tender healing heat of love. I like the heat part better. She is wife to Superman, or his non-Kryptonian, less bulletproof equivalent, and mother to the most awesome kids ever. They all live in perfect, sometimes domestically challenged bliss in the southern United States. And you can find out more about her and her books at her website, which is linked right here. And we'll bring her online. Let's see if I am technically challenged tonight. Welcome. And congratulations!
Thank you! Thank you so much. I'm super excited.
And you just found this out yesterday, right? Or was it today?
Yes, last night. Last night.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. The first person I called was my husband, and he was on his way to Bible study. I know I should have been with him, but he was on his way to Bible study. And I was crying. And I know I scared him until he translated what I was saying, and then he was all happy for me too. it's wonderful. Yeah, it's been an awesome day. It still hasn't sunk in yet. Like I'm gonna make everybody in this house say, you know, hey mama, USA Today bestselling author. And again, then that's all, man.
That's right. They better.
That's
better
right.
Recognize.
I'm not saying Neil before God. You know, they lucky if I'm not saying that.
Bow down and kiss the feet, children.
That's right.
Hey, whatever works in your house, whatever works.
That's right. That's right. I feel.
Well, I mean, that is a wonderful thing to. How did you go to sleep last night? I would have been so excited. It wouldn't. It would have been.
It was rough. I was up late. You know, I'm not saying I took some Benadryl, but you know, the bottle was next to me. But I'm not saying I took it. I'm not saying I drank some wine either. But you know, there's a bottle in the fridge. Let's just say
well,
it was
still some in the fridge
for a while.
So let's delve into the mind of a USA Today best-selling author and talk about your first stirrings of romance when because I totally butchered your bio there, but that's okay. So you were a reader early,
very early,
a reader of romance early. What would you say
very.
Was your first?
My first romance book, I probably started earlier than I should have because my grandmother, she, the lady that she worked for, I guess my grandmother just took like a box of Harlequins and by accident my sister and I found the box on her porch. And, you know, up to that point, you know, I'm reading Narnia and, you know, like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And then I discovered like the Harlequin books, and this was about 11. And I just started reading them, and I'm like, wow, now that I think about it, like if my daughter was reading what I was at my age, I'm like, my mother was slipping. She was slipping on that. I did not read that. But so
I
started early. But, yeah, Joanna Lindsay, Linda Howard, Sandra Brown, all of them. I was reading by 12. I was reading all of them by 12, like Son of the Morning by Linda Howard. I read it every single year because it's just one of my absolute favorite books. Yeah, she's
awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's cool to have that kind of book. Everybody, I think, maybe not. But a lot of people have that one book that, you know, it's just they just go back to it for that.
It's absolutely.
That was they know it was that first time they had that feeling.
And you just feel it again. Yeah, every time you read it, and every time I reread it, I discover something new in it. You know, so
that's really cool.
Oh, that book is wonderful. Love it.
It's funny you say that, though. I used to do that. I used to read a book, and then I would listen to it on audio because I would get something else out of it every time.
Right.
And it was really neat.
I was working at the bank. Yeah, I did that. Audiobooks saved me when I was doing my day job because I was working at a bank, and I felt like it was cheating kind of because I could listen, kind of read while I was working, and they helped the day go by so much faster.
Right? I did too when I was a librarian.
It went by so much faster. Yeah, they're wonderful.
Whoever they really
did
are.
That,
and
like, you know,
I don't know. They're super
you.
Smart. Well, I mean, I know they probably invented this for people who were visually, you know, handicapped and not able to read books as well anymore.
Right.
Maybe, you know, for whatever reason. But dang, I can get through a whole lot more books on audio than I can.
I can't.
Not
too.
Anymore because I have a 5-year-old and there's no way in heck I'm going to quiet
yeah,
them enough
no,
for
you
it.
Can't leave it.
When I was working.
With quiet time. What's this you speak of?
Yeah, right. Extra time. Yeah. He's been sick for the last 2 days, so I've been strung out like a crack whore. I mean, seriously, just. I look like somebody put me in a trunk and threw me out on the wharf, you know. It's just
like somebody
horrible.
Rolled you.
Yeah, seriously. I do. But, hey, this is why I do radio and not video on YouTube.
Amen. Say it. If you
so when
what
did you decide?
Right.
Yeah, right? No, well, this is just Mamaville. I can't help it, you know. Sorry. at what point did you decide you wanted to create the stories instead of just reading them?
Because actually, it comes back to that first book. I had the hugest crush on, like, Ralph Tresvant of New Edition. And really, the only way I was going to get to meet him was if I wrote our story, you know, because, I mean, it was like, you know, stalker crush. So I figured I should write our love story, because we were absolutely going to end up together anyway. So I should script how our love story was going to go. And so, of course, you know, our eyes met across, you know, this. Well, actually, this makes no sense because they were huge at this time and, you know, they were playing stadiums, but our eyes met across a crowded gymnasium, and he absolutely just, you know, fell in love with me. And, you know, we went to the drive-in, and that's where, you know, we first, you know, had our first moments. And, you know, and this is in the seventh grade, and, you know, he just fell in love with me, and, you know, why not? You know, so, you know, it was just, that's why I started writing, because I wanted to write stories that I knew were never going to happen.
You brought him into reality.
That's right.
That's pretty awesome.
Because my second
book
was about Donnie Wahlberg from New Kids on the Block.
I was about to say, I think I had a big obsession with Donnie Wahlberg.
He was the bad boy of the group.
I
get the crushes on everybody else, but Donnie was just the man. He was the bad boy of the group. Yeah.
And that's why I like
it. Still is. I think so.
And why my life has been complete hell since then. But anyway, that's okay. The whole bad boy thing is not so good in real life. But it makes
no,
for excellent
that's why,
stories.
That's why we write it in fantasy.
Because you cannot save the bad boy. I've tried about 15 times. But
heaven at all. Bad boy means unemployed, and that is not fun. I mean, that
that's
is not
right.
Fun.
That means no child support
there's
here.
No clue about that.
I am living that one. Okay. So, moving on to the next subject. Enough about my shortcomings. So you wrote it, and did you keep writing at that point, or was it like,
absolutely,
that was cool, and then, okay.
No, I think that was just a bug after that. I mean, nothing saw the light of day. I used to, it was by hand then, and
mm-hmm.
Had all these notebooks filled with books, you know, and I mm-hmm. actually stuffed them under the mattress and, you know, pretended, because I didn't want to know that my sister was reading them. I knew the nosy heifer was, but I was pretending she wasn't, and I know she was reading my notebooks. But I had like 10 of them under the mattress, because at that time
wow.
we shared a room. And,
right,
you know,
right.
So I know she was reading them, but I would just write. And then when she would mention them, we'd fight. And then, but, you know, they were literally sitting under the mattress. But, yeah, I've been writing ever since then.
I can hear this argument right now.
Oh, she was so nosy. And you know,
shut
when
up,
you're nosy,
I'm gonna tell Tony.
Yeah, she was, and we're twins, which makes it worse. So, but you know, when somebody's nosy, they really
yeah.
shouldn't really call you on the information they know they
no,
got.
You're right. You're not supposed to tell people you're reading their
No, book. No, you're not supposed to do
the
that.
The diaries are meant
no
for information only. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I had a diary. That's why I will always start a diary, but I could never keep it, because my sister, like, I would write, you know, Eugene looked at me today during kickball, and I think he likes me. And then the next time I open my diary, there would be a line through it. No, he didn't. He's going into their written notes. No,
oh my god, that's awful.
She was awful. Love her though.
Yeah.
She was awful.
Don't make notes in my diary. That's awful.
Yeah, like, you're letting me know you like transgress. You're letting me know.
That's so funny.
She had just no sense.
Tell you what, that's some funny stuff. My one of my best friends is a twin, and I hear their stories too, and I'm like, God, I can't even imagine how horrible that had to be.
Oh. Oh. And, but the good part
because,
is you always had a best friend, but the bad
oh,
part
yeah.
is, yeah, she was always
You weren't
around.
Always best friends?
Yeah. That's
the part. That's what she
said. Good and a bad
part. Yeah, they're like
never
46,
low,
and they're like,
low.
Yeah, right. Oh, that's funny. Too funny. Oh, my goodness. So when did you decide that you were going to try to publish one of your stories? Did she say, hey, that one's good, you should...
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
By the time I decided to actually, like, go for it, we were in different houses by then. Thank God.
So good.
I had my son, and I was on maternity leave, and I just, uh-huh. you know, there was an idea. It was actually a story that I had started, like, about 3 or 4 years prior, and since I was on maternity leave, I started writing it, and
mm-hmm.
I actually finished it, and it was horrible. Like, you know, hindsight, it was so bad. I'm so embarrassed I copyrighted that, and there's evidence of it somewhere. That was in 1999, 2000, and it still took me a while to actually get the nerve up to actually say out loud, okay, I want to pursue being a published author, you know,
uh-huh.
and so it still took a couple more years, and I started taking classes in between it, like kind of like procrastinating, but my procrastinating was helping me become a better writer. And it wasn't
right.
until I
yeah.
had gone home to New Jersey for a visit, and the one person that I was kind of like really, really nervous about, and I knew if I could tell him, then it was real, was my father, admitting to my father
mm-hmm.
that, you know, I wanted to be a published writer, because when we were younger, and granted, you know, because back then we were talking about becoming the female version of New Edition, and he was like,
oh, yeah.
we have scholars in this family, not entertainers. So So I was nervous about telling him, but we went out to dinner, and I just told him, and I said, you know, Daddy, I'm writing again, and you know, I just really want to become a published writer. And he just started asking me questions like, have you thought about copywriting? Okay, what are you going to do? Have you taken any classes? Are you joining any groups? He was dead serious about it, and that just kind of gave me the courage to just go for it. Yeah, he was very supportive. And he's even the one who made me, because I looked up my local RWA chapter and where they were meeting, but he's the one who made me go to that next meeting. And that's how I started pursuing it. Yeah. And 2 years after joining my local chapter, I was published.
That is awesome. And that's wonderful to have that kind of support.
He's wonderful. My family is. They're very supportive.
That's wonderful. Because a lot of people, in the general public, probably not people who are listening to the show because they like reading and authors and things, but
right.
Out in the world, they're like, oh, you want to be a writer? Oh, pat your head.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, they're like, what are you going to do for a real job?
Right.
Oh, my gosh. How
it's
you
like, do you know how much
crush somebody's dream?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
And, you know, some people just really have a passion, and you know, when you start stepping on their feet, it's just terrible. And so, I mean, I think that's wonderful that, you know, when I told my parents I wanted to write, they were like, oh, really? Oh, okay. They're like, and what are you going to write? Like, why? So, yeah, so here I am. But I have a supportive husband that just, I have a 5-year-old that drives me crazy. So he goes to school next year.
Yay!
Sorry, I had to get that out of my system. I'm so excited.
Okay, I said the yay for you because I knew you didn't want to.
Thank you.
Like, woo-hoo!
Thank you very much. Much appreciated. I held him out a year because he wasn't really ready, and it was like torture to mom holding him out a year. So he's going.
It was like, for me, that was like one of the saddest days and the best days when they went in the first grade. Oh, I was like, woo! Oh, no, my baby's growing up, but yes!
Get out!
Go worm! Get out! Shoot!
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm not gonna say he needs it more than I do. Let's just put it that way. He needs the time.
Right. He needs
more than I do.
Education. Yes, definitely.
He needs other children and other adults and other everything.
Yeah.
He needs somebody else to wear him out, not me. I've been doing it for 5.5 years. I'm done.
Somebody else's job. I'm willing to share.
Yeah. So I write young adult because I help it helps me feel younger. But yeah, it's not working right now. So maybe next year. So we know what got you to writing, and we know romance was your first love, obviously. But and what did you? When you first started writing, were they all contemporary? I mean, when you first started seriously publishing writing, type of writing, have you always stayed in contemporary? Have you dabbled in other?
You know, when my first book came out, and I called it an erotic romantic suspense, but now that I have some years, like, distance from it, it was contemporary with romantic elements. There's a big difference. But,
right.
Yeah, so I've written mostly contemporary, but I have a romantic suspense series, two of them, with Entangled. So I love writing both of them. Yeah, but I love contemporary romance because I think I'm a character-driven writer, you know, and call it the psychology degree or, you know, my love for Dr. Phil. But I just love, you know, just seeing it. I'm the only person who thinks he's sexy besides Robin. But, you know,
hey, my husband is bald as a baby's butt, and I think it's the sexiest thing in the world.
Yes. My husband shaves his head every spring, and I'm like, God, I fall in love with you every spring, like all over it.
Really?
Just all over it.
Yeah. Mine shaves his once a week. I love it.
Sorry.
I just had to share.
I know he's not listening, so it's okay.
I told him, don't you listen. But I know
does he read your books
somewhere. My husband is not a reader, but he has read a couple of them. He actually read the version of the first book, that one that's absolutely horrible. He actually read that first version, and he never lets me forget it because he's like, I love that book. And I'm thinking to myself, that just goes to show that you don't read a lot, because that book was awful. But he did read a couple of them, and he did like them. I'll never forget, because I wrote erotic romance, like my first six books were erotic romance. And he was reading one, and because it was like a novella, and he was reading one, and he turned to me and said, because we were in bed, and he was up reading late, and he turned to me and said, you like that? I said, that's fiction. That's straight fiction. Straight fiction, Hoff. Get out your head. That's straight fiction.
That's for everybody else's benefit.
Don't we get no ideas? No ideas up in here.
Oh, my God. I saw my husband. He's like, do you want to try that?
No.
Maybe later.
I know. I got a great imagination. Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah, right?
I wouldn't be like, hell tomorrow.
So what about your parents? Did they ever read your book?
No. No. I'm just going to say no. And I don't want them to. Honestly, I don't want them. My father's a pastor. And he knew I loved
what
romance.
You were gonna write.
So he knew that he had an idea that's what I was writing. But when I got my first sale is when he found, and I like ran screaming outside, you know, off my job, like, oh my God, I sold. And that's when I had to break it to him what that first book was. Like, it was an erotic
The Beast Within. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, well, and his reaction was okay. He was my father's a pastor, and so, you know, but he would get a kick out of, especially when my website was up. He would get a kick out of bragging to people, especially, you know, his congregation. Yes, my daughter's a writer. She just sold her first book. And they would be like, oh, that's wonderful, Pastor. What's her? She have a website? She sure does. And she writes under Naima Simone. Go check her out. And he would just sit there by the phone and wait because he knew the call was coming back. And so they would go out and
throw
in at it. Yes. 5 minutes later, Pastor? Because they found out by looking at the site. Yeah, I'm not writing to the
super soul. Pastor, we're going to start a prayer chain for your daughter.
Yes, I'm sure there were many. I'm sure. But he's never, he likes to tell people that he taught me everything I know about romance because, you know, he can preach a mean song of Solomon. So, you know, that he taught me everything. But
whatever.
Yeah, but he has not.
You didn't know you were sneaking them Harlequins.
No, I know.
Leave it to the preacher's daughter. There you go.
I know. That's the thing. Leave it to the PK. You know, except there's absolutely no symbolism in my book. None. No symbolism. I'm straight to the point.
There you go.
My mother tried to read one of my books. She's like, no, can't do it because I know it's you. So I was like, but she buys them. She buys them to support me, but she's like, no, I just can't.
Because
it's you. I know it's you. I can't read that, Naima. She can read anybody else's, but she can't, you know. I get it.
That's hilarious. That's funny. I always wondered if, you know, my dad passed away in 2015, but my story came out like a week after I published a short story in an anthology, but it came out like a week after he passed away. My mom read it. She sat and read it. She read it in one sitting there right in front of me, and I was waiting for her reaction.
Torture.
The naughty parts, you know. And she was like, oh, tastefully done. Very good. That was her comment. That's all she cared about. Did I embarrass her? Nope. I was kidding. Good. So, yeah. I don't think my dad could have plugged through it. He probably would have been like,
No. I don't even know how you sat there with while she read it. I just could, we were in the car one day, and my sister, my father, and I were going out to store something, and I forgot that I had a print copy of one of my books in the back seat. And
mm-hmm.
we're driving, and all of a sudden I hear him say, "And Sean slid the cover." I was like, "Give me that!"
Company thing or so, I don't know.
Mm-mm.
Crazy. Yeah.
I can't.
Yeah,
I can't even imagine that. I don't want them to read it. I'm cool with it. Just support me, but I don't want you to read it.
Everybody else, read away.
Everybody else.
That is your. Does your twin? Does she read them?
Oh yeah.
Does your twin?
Yeah,
she does. Okay.
Oh yeah, she's as much in a romance as I am. You know, as a matter of fact, I let her buy a lot of books, and I'll go and take them from her. Cause she's still like I read a lot of e-books, but she reads
uh-huh.
she has a Kindle, but she is still uh-huh. like I need to smell the pages, so I'll let her
yeah.
go buy like a lot of the books, and if I don't have them on my e-read, I'll go take them after she's done. But yeah, she reads my books too, yeah, and she's not shy about telling me what she likes. She's not. So. She's like,
she's the other half of you. Of course she's not sick.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess not. She's like, that was hot, Nina. That was fire.
Like, I love it. Lord. I love it. Your family sounds like a hoot.
Yeah. Halloween.
Oh, see, now you got me all flummoxed. that was a librarian word.
I'm like, yes, writing that down, that will be in my next book. Feeling it.
Okay. Let's talk about heroes. What are some of your favorite hero types?
Oh, I love an alpha hero. That's like my catnip, mm-hmm. and I know a lot of people don't like, the a-hole alphas, but I don't like him to be a total, a-hole, like to the point where he's like verbally abusive and then the heroine is supposed to forget all that
right.
in the end, because I don't like that. But, just a touch of somebody who's – I love a hero who's broody, reserved, strong, but, underneath all of that is like that passion and that vulnerability, but only for the heroine. Like, she's the only one who sees that other side of it, but
right.
to everybody else, he's a total hard and badass, I love that. And to see
Mr.
him,
Darcy.
Like, crack for her. Yes. Yes. I
Mr. Darcy was an alpha.
Yes.
And you would never really say that, but he was. He was an alpha.
He was.
Totally
he
an alpha.
He was broody and reserved and a jerk. But,
yeah.
in some respects. But man, he loved her, and for her, he
oh,
was
yeah.
a different person.
Oh,
yeah.
And he did
and
all kinds of things
hero.
That she didn't even know. And yeah,
right.
Yeah.
That's
I like
the kind
a
of hero
alpha.
I love. Yeah, I just love them. Love them. I'm not a beta.
I do like
hero.
No, and I don't get the beta thing, and I know
I don't
some
either.
People do, and I'm good with that. There are some cases, Like, there's the big bully
like,
man
like
thing and the second friend. I'm trying to think of a good it's Spider-Man.
Oh, like Peter Parker.
Peter Parker. Kind of a beta.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. Except when he's Spider-Man, you know. Yeah,
well,
but
they don't know he's Spider-Man.
yeah, right.
Yeah.
I'm like, Peter, man up. Go after Mary Jane. You know, I can say something.
Exactly.
You know.
Like
why you
got
to
kiss
you
like that?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Let me kiss you to show you where the boy's at, Peter. Like, come on, man up.
But that's probably about the best example I could think of for one. But I think alpha males are. I mean, there's just something about the testosterone they produce anyway that draws
absolutely
a woman in. So,
yeah.
You know. As long as they're good
I'm
to their
sure
woman, who cares if they're a jerk to everybody else? So.
Okay. And I know that's not popular, but I just read a book. I was trying to tell my friend about it. I just read a book. It's called A Vicious by, I can't think of her name. It's L.J. I'm probably going to pronounce it wrong. L.J. Shin, I think. S-H-E-N. And the hero, his actual name is Vicious. And he was such an asshole. He was. And it didn't change, really. And even in the beginning, he was to her, but he was still doing things for her that she didn't even know about. But she was his
right
Achilles heel. And he loved her and he resented her for it. But his love for her was just amazing. But he was still such a total jerk to everybody else. But for her, he would go to the wall for her, like change his life for her, change his location. And he did. And that was so sexy. But the fact that everybody else still saw him as totally ruthless was sexy too. Like she was the only one that saw that side of him. And I love that about a hero.
That yeah, me good too. That's the ones that give you the really deep story too.
Right.
Tingling in the red places. That just made me think of something awful. I'm gonna go somewhere else.
I probably read this, so you know, it wasn't me.
Yeah,
said it. It wasn't me.
Well, there's the whole you know, there's the whole evolution of the romance genre in the last, I don't know, I would say 10 years, that it's become, you know, it's okay. All these things are, not only are they acceptable, they're desirable things to write about.
Right.
And the more flawed the person, the male character especially, the better. And, you know, E.L. James kind of opened the door for that with 50 Shades, and it's funny that it's still, you know, we're only seeing the second movie now, you know, it's like this is still dragging out, but yeah, I think she really really did open the door quite a bit for contemporary romance to take off its jacket and relax a little bit, you know.
And Anne's to let the freak flag fly.
That's right.
For the mainstream.
That's right.
Mainstream, yeah. Yeah. She did. Let's fly.
She did. No, she did. And she did for romance kind of what J.K. Rowling did for YA. She
true
just opened the door. And,
right.
And
it's not
been,
like it wasn't
been
there
a really great thing.
Right. Yeah.
It was there. It just wasn't. Now it's
it was
got the corner of the market, you know.
Exactly. Exactly.
So it's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome. And you know, we as romance lovers of the world are so glad that there's so many authors out there writing. We're never going to run out of anything to read. So it's happy moment.
I love discovering new authors, like new to me authors. That is like one of my greatest joys, because especially if they're new to me and I read a book by them, and they have me so hooked knowing that I can go back out and buy the other book
find
in
more
their series. Like that's like forget your whole diamond, give me that, you know. that's just so wonderful to me.
Yeah, my husband's like that too. It's like I download, you know, I do instant freebie or find things on BookBub and download free things for him, and then he's like, oh my god, I gotta have more. Let's get the rest of them, you know. I'm like, you're such a book whore, I swear. He's worse than I am.
But it's awesome. I wish I could make my children like that, but no, that's okay. Someday. I'm going to put the number out. Let me put the phone number out real quick. 347-633-9609. There will be a giveaway to a caller of our guest choice. So please call in, otherwise you can't get the giveaway. Okay, so go ahead.
Oh, I forgot what I was going to say.
See, I interrupted.
No, this is like you know, you have those dreams where you're really seriously in your underwear in front of everybody, and that's my moment right now on radio.
Oh, hell, I do that all the time. I'm in my underwear every time I'm on the show. So, well, I kind of am, but it's different. But we have a caller, and it looks like it's somebody from your area code. So I'm a little bit worried, but let's see who this is.
It doesn't that be my husband?
Thanks for calling the librarian. You're live on the air with Naeem and Simone. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh my God. Hi. You're not getting that card. What happens when you tell your family you don't listen to the show and they listen to the show? That was my daughter and my husband.
Hi. Welcome to the show. Don't read mommy's work.
No, please don't. We've already had that discussion.
Thanks for calling. Really going to talk?
Oh, I'm like, wait a minute. You know, I'm about to go out in the living room and do the
slap. Okay. Okay, we got somebody else on hold. Huh. Let's see who we got.
Okay, yeah.
Hi, you're live on The Librarian. Hello.
Hi.
Are you there? Hi, you're live on The Librarian.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, right. How are you? Who's this?
This is Kim.
Hi, Kim.
Hi, Kim.
Wait, hold on a second. I'm sorry. I have like phone and I have like my headset on.
Yeah, it'll feedback.
Yeah. So, what's your favorite hero so far that you've written?
Oh, that I've written. Oh, Kim, put me on the spot. Kim, put me on the spot.
That's asking who your favorite child is.
Oh. Autumn. I'm just playing. I would have to say my favorite hero is actually I'm gonna say Neil in The Millionaire Makeover, because he's kind of like the hero that I was just talking, describing the hero I was just talking about. You know, he just has that like very reserved, broody, strong. Nothing can get to me. He's had a, you know, tragic past, which has caused him to, like, totally, you know, close down, like, emotionally. But, you know, he has this soft spot that only the heroine can get to. And then he's Irish, and he's a musician. You know, he plays the fiddle, which is, like, his passion, you know, and only with her was he able to, you know, explore it. So it was just a lot of fun writing him, because I got to write, you know, Irish, you know, sayings with him. I got to just really get into his past and with his father, and he had such a full character arc that it was almost easy writing him, and I just really, really enjoyed writing him. He kind of wrote himself. That's how much I loved writing him.
He was like the perfect hero. He actually made me cry in public, which was like really sad.
That's awesome.
Hey, you crying in public was like one of the best compliments ever. I know I should have felt bad about that, but I totally didn't. You know, I loved it. I was secretly going, go me.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's a great character. I mean, if it can move you to tears when you're in the middle of
a room with a whole bunch of other people or somewhere on a train or anything. That's great. That means
Absolutely.
You were really into it.
Yeah, that was like, you know, okay, let me go ahead and take a bow on that one. Yes. Yeah. I'm glad it did. I had a ball writing that book, you know, and it's partly and it was the two characters that made me have such a good time writing it. And so I'm glad it moved you to tears.
It was an
Even
amazing
if
book.
It did look like Danny Glover on that, you know, that commercial where, you know, you just start spontaneously crying and laughing for no reason and people are looking at you weird, you know, so, but I'm glad it did.
Well, you're welcome.
Hey, Kim.
Yes,
if you, are you on Facebook? Are you on Facebook?
Yes, I am.
Yes. Send me your email on the librarian page, and I'll get the – do you want to tell her what you're giving away?
Yes, I'm giving away a $20 Amazon gift card.
Oh, wow, more shopping. Thank you.
That's awesome, isn't it? Thanks for calling in.
Yay,
hey, thanks for talking to me. I enjoyed it.
Oh, and I'd like to say, I'd just like to point out that Kim – I had a name in the book contest, and Kim won that, and so she ended up as the secondary character in the book that just came out now, Millionaire at Midnight, and
awesome.
She was one of my favorite characters to write too. I really enjoyed writing her too, but Kim was the inspiration.
I was
awesome.
Wondering if you're gonna realize that it was me.
You figured it out. That's awesome. You're in a book.
Great.
You got to make
yeah.
it with a hot guy, and he had a lot of money. That's great.
Yeah, she will, because I'm writing a book with her as the heroine now.
There you go. Yay.
I know. Awesome.
You're famous.
Hey, my daughter's eyes, I am. In my daughter's eyes,
yes,
I rock. She was, like, really excited. But, hey, thanks for talking to me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for calling, Kim.
You're welcome.
Thanks for calling in.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Oh, I know Kim
awesome.
From Facebook, and she's a
no,
she's
that's
an
awesome.
Awesome reviewer. She has a blog called Read Your Rights, and she's a wonderful reviewer, and she's also on my street team. And it was so cool, like, you know, you meet people all the time on Facebook, but getting to hear their voice, like, oh, that's,
yes.
that's super cool.
Well, I'm glad you got that connection because it is fun.
Yeah,
and I love being like I'm the middleman on that. I feel like I'm Ryan Seacrest, you know, I'm Ryan Seacrest. I'm like,
and here you are,
meeting. No, I'm way better looking than Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah, you really are. I mean, I've seen your picture. Yeah, you got that cover.
It didn't have to be much. He ain't all that.
Sorry, Ryan.
So did your family call back in? They're hanging out here.
No,
they listening in?
No, I told them. I went out and I did the splashing movement. Like, hello. I'm being a professional here. I'm going to need y'all to call back. Because if you don't, I'm going to have to come out and throat punch you. So, yeah. So, I was like, you know, you're going to fall back.
Awesome.
I told you he was listening. I knew he was listening. Yeah, but I love them. I
think
I
it's hilarious. I think it's awesome. That's really great. I mean, it's all for fun anyway. So are you a big do you attend conferences and like RT and things like that?
I want to, but I haven't been able to. I think the last one I went to was AAD, like Authors After Dark. That was the last one I went to. And, I mean, I would love to, but I just don't get out as much as I would love to, though. So, but
yeah.
my,
it's hard with
my
kids,
goal, but... yeah, and especially because where I live, they don't have a lot in this area, like in Alabama. Mm-hmm. They don't have a lot in this area, so I have to travel. To go to the conference.
Yeah.
But my resolution this year actually was to go to at least one conference this year. And so I still have to pick it, but I want to go to one this year because the ones I've been to are so much fun, like the interaction with other writers and readers, and then the workshops. You always come back energized, you know, and just to write. Yeah. So I don't go as much as
I've heard, though, that RT is just like a big, giant party.
I have too.
So
I'm going next year.
I don't know if my body can handle that. I'm a little old for that kind of partying, but I'll try it.
I'm still 18-ish, so you know I have that covered.
Like I said, I'm 29. So
right.
But yeah, that's okay. So what do you have on your – yeah, we have just been giggling like schoolgirls here.
I know,
I've had
such a good time.
let's talk about your writing. We're like, whatever.
You're like, okay.
Let's talk about
okay.
what you've got on your plate for the rest of 2017 and the rest, you know, beyond. You may have some other things planned.
Well, I just had last week my new release just came out, A Millionaire at Midnight, and that's book four in the Bachelor Auction series. And I've actually started a brand new series. I'm working on that, and I'm working on two new series that I'm excited about. So I'm hoping my editor will be excited about too. So, I'm working on those, and I hope to have those coming out in 2017 because. You know, 2016 was amazing, and I want 2017 to be just as amazing, if not more.
Yeah.
So yeah,
awesome.
There are proposals now. Yeah, that I'm like, buy it.
Are they both contemporaries as well? Right. I can't waiting.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. That's exciting.
Yeah, and they're sexy contemporaries. So you know. Sexy.
Yeah. The steamy line.
That's
the scissor line. Sizzler.
They like this. Not hot, but they hot. You know, H-A-W-T. They like hot.
Hot, yes. Hot.
Yeah, hot.
Let's see. We have another caller. Let's see.
Yay!
Thank you for calling the library, and you're live on the air.
Hi. First of all, congratulations, Naima, on your making the USA Today bestsellers list.
Woo-hoo! Thank you, Gary. This is Gary. This is my husband. Hi, Gary.
And my question for you is, what scenes do you have the most difficult writing?
Oh, because he knows the answer to this, probably.
I know. He does, because he sees me. Thanks, Gary.
What a good hubby.
But well, actually, the hardest scenes I have, the hardest scenes for me to write are actually the love scenes. That doesn't mean I don't enjoy writing them. I mean, because when they're done, I'm like, oh, nailed that. But they're the hardest because they're sometimes some of the most important parts of the book because. It's communication between the characters. You see them grow closer through the physical interaction. So it's not just, you know, A, B, sometimes C or D, you know, like that. it's not just choreography.
Yeah, you can't sort it. You can't sort the scene because it's got to, if you short it, then it doesn't.
It's not satisfactory, you know.
Well,
and
it
the
doesn't
feel like
show that
legit.
Growth of their relationship. Yes,
exactly.
Yes, I agree. Yeah.
And it's not just physical, it's emotional, it's what they're seeing, smelling, what they're saying to each other. Are they going to talk to each other? Because for me, like, sex scenes are as much part of the characterization and the growth of a character, just like, you know, them overcoming an issue, you know.
Right.
So they're important, and they're the hardest part for me to write because a lot of dialogue doesn't take place. In them, you know, there's some, but it's they really have to speak through their bodies and through their internal dialogue and emotions.
And their actions, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I,
Well, thanks
I
for the
finish,
question, Gary.
I'm like,
you already hung up.
Thanks,
Gary. Do you go back and reread them and then, like, you know, go, no. Woohoo, that's awesome.
Yeah, when I finish, I'm like, woohoo. But I actually don't go back and read. I'll go back and read the other parts of the book. I don't go back and read those. I don't.
No?
Because I don't. And they're really, when I go through a book, I'll skim through that because, and it's funny, out of all the other parts that I might feel like, this might need work, I almost never feel like my love scenes need work, I guess, because for me, when I first start to plot the book, the love scenes are the first, they're about two or three on the list that I plot.
Right.
Because they're part of the character. They're part of their growth. So I'm really confident about the love scene. You know, I usually am. And it's hard for me to sound funny. But, you know, and their mind are kind of lengthy. So just going through it, I kind of feel like, you know, okay, I got that. And now I need to go on to the part that I'm not so sure about.
Right.
And so, I don't really read those over a lot. And mainly because I know when I get an edit, so I'm going to have to read it over about 3-4 times.
You have to read it anyway, yeah.
Right.
Understand. So what are edits like for you? Is it torture?
That first round is brutal. Like, I have, like, the best editor. Tracy Montoya, and it's funny that I actually read her books, her Harlequin books before she became my editor. So when I first saw her name, I was like, oh my god, that's Tracy Montoya, and
awesome.
To find out that I had a serious fangirl moment because I'd read her books, and to find out she was actually like. Going to be my editor, it was thrilling. And we have, like, this great relationship. I love her. And she pushes me. She, like, challenges me all the time.
That's awesome.
And the challenging part about that is the first round, I know it's going to look like the stigmata with all that red in it. It's going to be just deleted.
Well, she wouldn't be a good editor if it wasn't. Yeah.
I know it is. But by the time I'm finished that first round, I'm like, this is going to – by the time I'm always finished, I cry when I – I don't cry. But I might, you know, moan when I first read it, like the editorial letter, like, oh, God, I suck. And then, you know, but by the time, you know, I turn it back in, I it never fails. I always feel like it's a much stronger book.
So better. Oh, well,
yeah,
good.
Absolutely.
That's what a good editor is supposed to do.
Yeah, and rounds two or three are not as brutal, but that first round, I need like I need a glass of wine, I need a beer,
ten.
I need like a, yeah, I might need a joint. I'm like, no.
It's that bad, huh?
I'm like, oh God, why did you contract this? But yeah, she's wonderful, and she catches everything. She always makes the conflict stronger, the characterization. She's such a wonderful editor, and I wouldn't have it any other way. Actually, I say that after I turn it in, but yeah.
Well, obviously she does a good job because you keep turning them out, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, and I'm glad I've been with Entangled for 4 years now. Because it's 2017.
Awesome.
And she's been my editor ever, you know, since day one. And, I mean, it's like, you know, I just trust her. Like, she makes a suggestion, and my first reaction is, I don't know about that. She never makes a suggestion without telling you why. And it might require a lot of work for me, like, to change things around. But I trust her so much that if she makes a suggestion, I definitely think about it, and 99.8% of the time, I take it.
Yeah,
because I just trust her judgment. Yeah, she's wonderful.
Well, great. You sound like you have a really good support system, and that's an awesome thing for any author. So,
yeah,
good job. And no wonder you're making the bestseller list. That's awesome. You got all the support. That's wonderful. Are you still there? Are you still on the line?
Hello.
Hi, you're on the librarian.
I was just wanting to say congratulations to Naima.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
This is Chasney.
Oh, hi, Chasney. I met her on Facebook too, and we would like to for a Scandal. So she is giving up Scandal right now for me. That's
for
deep.
You,
wow. That is
deep.
I mean, yeah. You've got a good friend there. That's good.
I do. Hi, Chevy.
Well, I'm so glad you were able to listen in and call in tonight.
Okay. Keep writing a good book.
Thank you.
Yeah, keep writing.
All right, bye.
Bye.
All right, thank you for calling.
Thank you for calling. That's another person I'm like, oh, I just want to hear
That's
your
awesome.
Voice. Oh, God, you sound like I imagined.
Let me have a Ryan Seacrest moment.
And how did you feel after that phone call?
Well, Tabitha, let me say, I feel like, you know, I'm really blessed with great people, and, you know, just God just came through tonight. You know, it just came through. Yeah, so
I think it did. It was fun. It did, though. That's a good way to put it. There you go. Well, our time is ticking down pretty fast here. I want to make sure everybody can find you online. In your website, I'm technically challenged tonight. I'm laying down. I shouldn't be. Is Naima? It's Naima Simone.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure you guys type it right. .com. And I remember correctly, all your social media links were also available on your website.
Yep.
Do you have a newsletter and a street team?
I do.
If anybody wants to keep in touch and get the latest, they can sign up for your newsletter.
Yep, absolutely. And also have a street team on Facebook, the Saints and Sinners, and we have a great time there. And you can join me over there or just on Facebook. I'm more active on Facebook than I am Twitter, but definitely the newsletter, because I don't bombard people with them, but, you know, every time something new happens, I'll send something out about, you know, a new book or a new release or, I mean, you know, a new cover or so, something like that. But
mm-hmm.
I don't really bombard you.
Yeah. But it's a good way. It's one of the best ways to keep up with your favorite authors. So
yes,
if you're a follower there, because you'll get the right information before everybody else.
Yes, you will.
And you know us readers, we like the information for everybody else. So that's
right.
Where it goes.
That's right. That's right.
Well, thanks for being on tonight.
Thank you. I had such a wonderful time.
I did too. It was a blast. And much luck to you. And I can't wait to see what you've got planned for us the rest of the year.
Thank you. And thanks for having me. Thank you.
All right. Have a great evening.
You too. And I'll be following you on Twitter and Facebook, too.
Yes, ma'am. And I'll keep up with you.
Okay.
All right. Have fun. Take it easy.
Bye-bye.
All right, guys. All right, everybody. I'll see you next Thursday right here on The Librarian at 9 p.m. Central. Oh, I'm sorry, not Central. Eastern. See, she's got me all flummoxed again. 9 p.m. Eastern. Sweet dreams and keep reading.